2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time to check in with the man himself, Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, how the heck are you?
Mr. Kurt, hello.
It's good. Hi, it's good to talk to you, gentlemen. Yeah, nice quiet day around here. Nothing going on in the NBA. So, yeah.
No. Nope. No, sir. Not at all.
And the funny thing is, like, it's not even going to be the biggest news story of the day because I hear Aaron Rodgers just. The meditation paid off now, and he knows what he's going to do. So, you know.
Yeah.
I guess he came to the conclusion he just wants to lose.
He could have done that anywhere, man. Chargers need it. No.
The whole winning thing, really not important. I'm going to New York. All right. Well, let's start with Ja Morant. NBA has suspended him 8 games. That includes the current games that he's missed. Could be back next week. Do you anticipate that we will see him back next week?
Yes, he is out of counseling. And I think almost the way to look at this now that I'm starting to write it up is like they're just docking him the pay for the game he's missed and adding on a couple. Like he's now it's going to be an 8 game without pay suspension total. But they found when they did the investigation, they called it, Adam Silver called it in the quote, you know, it's reckless and irresponsible what he did. But apparently now that they've looked at it, he didn't bring the gun to the party. He didn't travel with it. It wasn't his weapon. So the major crimes that, you know, bringing a gun on a plane, it turns out is not something you're supposed to do. That kind of stuff. He didn't violate. So he gets 8 games and maybe the Grizzlies start to find themselves because they've been pretty awful lately.
Yeah, it's not been good without them.
They've won 3 in a row. As I say that, they have won 3 in a row, but it's not looked good.
So who comes back first, LeBron James or Kevin Durant?
Oh, Hans is on fire today. That's a good one. I'm going to say Durant. And it's only because I know LeBron is actually doing some on-court work. I know he has seen foot specialists and doing everything he can to get back because I think he realizes they actually made some good moves. This team, they made good moves around them, and if he's right, this team is pretty dangerous. But his issue, his issue is, look, if it wasn't for him pushing and this team being good, he might not play the rest of the season. Where Durant, Durant's pretty, I don't want to say close, but Durant just sprained his ankle. Like, it's something you can absolutely bounce back from.
Are you considering Durant, considering, you know, when he plans on coming back? What are your expectations for the Suns? Are they your favorite right now coming out of the West?
I was about to say no, because I'm like, man, they haven't played enough games. But I'm not sure who my favorite in the West is. It was Denver. But they've taken their foot off the gas, lost four in a row now. And I don't know. I guess I'll ask you guys, do you trust anybody in the West?
No.
Mm. Phoenix with Kevin Durant, I trust that.
Yeah, I think that I might trust that more than anything else, because I think, as we talked about, I mean, the advantage you have with him is that there's not adding Kyrie Irving to you know, the Mavericks and next to Luka Doncic is going to take a lot of work and some chemistry and some changes to kind of blend everything in. Where that's just not Durant is just as plug and play, as malleable a superstar as there is. He's going to be, if the fit is easier. The only question is, if they gave up so much, how much does that hurt them? They could really use a Mikal Bridges and some guys who can defend right now. But I mean, I literally was the other day, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to be picking Denver to come out of the West. Now I'm like, I don't know if I'm picking Denver to come out of the West. I've got a few weeks to figure that out, but I don't trust anybody in that conference. And I still think that at least the three best teams in the NBA are in the East right now.
So I continue to ask myself, I trust Phoenix with Kevin Durant, but I continue to ask myself, why do I not trust Golden State? Golden State has got two wins in a row. They just beat Phoenix soundly without Kevin Durant on the court. But on the court, and I watched part of that game, you had Draymond Green, you had Curry, you had Klay Thompson, you had Kevon Looney. Coming off the bench, you still had Jordan Poole. You know, you've got this base that's won it, that's been there multiple times. And I continue to just look at it and think, oh, no, they're dealing with too many issues, and maybe they're severing a little bit. Maybe they're too expensive, or maybe they're too old. But, Kurt, why can't we look at this and think, well, it's Golden State? Why can't we not trust that it's Golden State?
Because they're just – and I'm with you, by the way. They're just Jekyll and Hyde. They're road – when they're at home, like they were against Phoenix, they look great. But they're, what, 7-24, whatever it is, and their defense is one of the worst in the league when they get on the road. And I've just, you know, we're 70 games into the season. You don't flip the switch now. Like, you've either flipped it or you can't. I'm not sure what their road issues are, but I'm just past the point where I'm like, you know, they're going to be fine. They're going to get this. I'm not sure what that, I'm not sold that they're going to be able to flip that switch again. And I'd be completely off the bandwagon. But that comes back to the, I don't trust anybody in the West, you know. I suppose there's a path through because I don't trust anybody else either. But I they just don't look like a team that's built all the good habits they're going to need. And they can win some playoff series because Steph and Klay can go off, but that's not going to get them the title. The defense that wins them rings when they're good just isn't the same right now.
So are you ready to close the door, if it wasn't closed already, on Dallas? Now they're dealing with injuries with Luka. He's missing his third consecutive game. Kyrie Irving probably out with the right foot soreness. Is that an experiment that's just gone wrong, and put it to bed and let Kyrie sign somewhere else in the offseason?
I think, first off, my favorite thing is Kyrie's like, yeah, you know, I had to play 41 minutes in that other game, and now I've got foot soreness in the next game.
Yeah.
I was overworked. And I don't think they're thinking that internally, but from the external, you're like, I feel like I've seen this movie. My guess, by the way, yeah, I've written them off for this year just because they can't defend. But my guess is he resigns there. They're willing to try the experiment longer. I don't think they know if it's going to work, and they got to figure out what happens if they put better fitting defending players around them. And the other problem is, I just don't think he has anywhere to go. The teams with cap space don't want to go to Orlando. He doesn't want to go to San Antonio. He wants to go to a contender, but, you know, there's a lot of Laker buzz. But the only way you make that work is a sign and trade, where the Lakers might have to send Anthony Davis or somebody actually good out. But aside that part, like, once they sign and trade him, the Lakers become hard capped. So now you can't get him there very easy. It's just the logistics of him signing somewhere else are hard. And I got a feeling ultimately he and Dallas work it out. He signs there. And then by next trade deadline or next, you know, this time next year, we'll be having conversations about where we think he should be traded.
Yeah.
Well, Kurt, I'm just looking at Atlanta as Quinn Snyder takes over, currently on a two-game losing streak. And they, if the postseason were to start tomorrow, they'd be in the play-in tournament. Does this Atlanta team make it through the play-in tournament with Quinn Snyder as their head coach as they finish up this season?
Yeah, I'm really curious because I just was talking with somebody about that today. If it ended today the way it was, they would get, it would be Miami Atlanta, which is a pretty entertaining first round. You know, winning, you're in, you get the seventh, so you get the reward of Boston. I probably trust Miami more because I trust Jimmy Butler more. I trust Bam Adebayo is going to bring it. Like, Miami just finds a way to play better in the postseason. Jimmy Butler, in particular, does. But then you get into that one game thing, and it's what we love about college basketball. It's why, hey, I think Utah State's a live dog in this game, by the way. Scotty, I know you're there. I think that they're, I think they've got a real chance. But that's what we, I mean, you get into that one game and you're like, yeah, but they're going to get Washington and Washington stinks. Yeah, Washington stinks. They also have Bradley Beal. Like, they have Chris Eftersby. Like, for any one game, that's the beauty of it. Like, something crazy could happen. So they probably make it through and then just get slaughtered in the first round. But I also don't think that's on Quinn. I just think you hire a coach 60 games into the season. You just, you can't do anything, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, I was talking to one of the assistant coaches here at Utah State, and he's like, man, I hate it. Like, everybody, it seems like everybody's got to pick one of these underdogs, and it seems like us. Because, like, I hate that stuff right now. Like, I hate that we're, like, everybody's, like, go-to upset victory. I want everybody saying, oh, yeah, no, Missouri's going to go on, and this isn't going to be a game, blah, blah, blah. But now I got to read all this stuff about, oh, hey, Utah State, they could be. He's like, man, it's driving me nuts right now. But, yeah, it's a good matchup for him for sure. I think they certainly have a chance, but it should be fun. Do you get into this whole stuff? Do you fill out the brackets and all that?
I do. It's funny. I watch so little college basketball outside of my other live dog, just because my daughter goes there. I'm now all over UC Santa Barbara upsetting Baylor. Although Baylor plays like no defense, and
yeah,
Santa Barbara brings they're one of those mid majors that brings everybody back, you know, like most of their starters and stuff. So, like, those are the dangerous kind of teams, that the kind of veteran teams out of those smaller schools that go up against the big dogs. But yeah, I get into it. I just don't, it's funny. My brackets are horrible because I've watched probably less college basketball than most of the people listening to this. Cause I'm my time's so committed to watching NBA games. And then I do watch Big West only because as we've discussed, I live near Long Beach State. So that's the place I can go have a beer and watch a game and not think about it. You know, not have to think about what I'm going to ask the coach afterwards or storylines or anything. I can just go be a fan. But I don't get to watch a lot of basketball outside of, like, watching Alabama to watch Brandon Miller or something. So my brackets are horrible. But, yeah, I filled it out, and I've got Houston. I'm probably wrong, but I've got Houston.
Kurt, you know, it was interesting. I was at Mountain West Conference Tournament last week, and I ran into an NBA scout, and we were just shooting the bull about, you know, the upcoming draft and stuff like that. And I asked him his thoughts on Brandon Miller. Would, you know, all this stuff around Arkansas, would that persuade him against recommending him being drafted? And he said, look, as long as there's no charges coming his way, if it stays the way that he is, he goes, I couldn't in good conscience tell my guys not to draft him because he's that good of a player. And he even put him kind of neck and neck with Scoot at number two.
I just wrote about that this morning. Hey, I did the same thing. I've done some NBC News came to me and, like, asked me to, you know, I had to delve into it because it wasn't something I'd looked for, and they wanted to do some video. I'm like, all right, well, let me go ask some people. And I got the exact same reaction, which is, unless he's arrested or there's another revelation, I mean, it's a red flag. You're going to do a dive into his background, but barring something else, like they're not going to. And then I've heard the exact same thing, and then it's, I know they've reported it at The Athletic a couple times. Scoot kind of struggled the second half of the year. Like he shot 27.5% from three, and he's an explosive athlete, and he's younger, and he was playing against men, so like all of it's got a grain of salt. But front offices are at least having the Miller or Scoot Henderson conversation now. Like it's Wembanyama one, and then it's a conversation about two, and that's a kind of huge leap from where it was.
Kurt, Scotty and I have been trying to identify where the Jazz land in the grand scheme of things with their lottery chances. I actually set the line at the 7. It's 7.5, worst record in the NBA. So I took the over. I think they're going to finish as the 8th worst record. Lloyd and Scotty took the under, thinking that they'll finish with the 7th or worse record. So here's the remaining 13 games for the Utah Jazz. Boston, Sacramento, Portland, Milwaukee, Sacramento, Phoenix, San Antonio, Boston, Brooklyn, the Lakers, Oklahoma City, Denver, and the Lakers to finish the season. I know that that's just kind of we're able to hear the names and kind of briefly go over it, but what do you think they finish with through a remaining schedule that includes, I believe, 8 out of the 13th are in your top 5 in either conference?
Well, first off, I had actually been looking this up while doing power rankings and looked it up for somebody else, but notice this. Utah has the toughest schedule remaining in the NBA of anybody. Like you listed it and you saw all those names, but it is a legitimate – it's a legitimate issue. Like they're in real trouble. I don't know. I got a feeling that they are going to finish. What'd you say? Bottom 8. Let's see. Pistons are worse. Rockets are worse. Spurs are worse. The bottom four. Yeah, I think they're just going to be higher than that. I mean, their schedule is pretty bad, but the Blazers are trying to win. The Bulls are trying to win. I don't know. The Pacers aren't. That's a tough one. Because I would say just on talent, they should be better than Chicago and Portland, or at least in the mix. But those teams are going to – I don't know. I'd probably take the over. I'd probably say it's going to be 8th worst. I'm just guessing. I know I just looked up a projection. 538 has them as the 9th worst, but I don't know. Chicago might pull it off, especially with that tough schedule. We'll see. I don't think they're falling all the way back to – yeah, any 7th is about as good as it could get, because I don't think the Pacers are going to help out at all. I think they're pretty bad, so despite having Tyrese Halliburton. So, yeah, I got a feeling 8th or 9th, and I'm not sure what those odds are off the top of my head. But, you know, the thing is, they're a couple of wins away from actually being in the postseason.
I know, yeah. Hey, you know, just talking a little bit about Scoot and the G League and where he was at, kind of there's some interesting thoughts about, you know, would you, as a high-level recruit, would you spend your year playing in that G League with that Ignite team or enjoy college? And the reason I bring it up is because I go back to Kevin O'Connor, the longtime GM of the Jazz, and when the Jazz drafted Gordon Hayward way back in the day, he said one of the things we really looked at was how he played in pressure moments of that NCAA tournament. That's your Butler went to the championship game and Hayward, you know, almost hit a half-court shot to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, the way he played in that entire tournament really kind of persuaded us as to, you know, this is the guy we feel like we should go with. If you were consulting a young player, do you think GMs still lean a little, even if they say they don't want to, even if they don't want to, kind of lean towards those big moments in the tournament that might give them an edge in that college ranks? Or would you still say, hey, maybe go take the money, play in the Ignite, your opportunities will still be the same in the draft?
I think it depends on the player. I don't think the money thing was real a couple of years ago. The NIL and stuff
changes that
dynamic a little bit. But it also, I think this is really a situation where, is this somebody who, some players are just not going to be, some guys are just not, and are just not made for college. Like, they should just, like, this is not, don't go there. This is not the folk where you're going to want to have your focus. You're going to be better off with the Ignite or overtime or whatever. Or, frankly, there's a league set up, the Australian League has a whole program set up to bring guys over. You know, I think, you know, we've seen that too. There's guys that that's better for, but if, I don't know. I have such a positive experience. Like, I just think the college experience can help you as a person in terms of helping you find yourself and rounding yourself out. And it doesn't always happen that fast, John Morant. But yeah. I think it can. I think the, even the half year, the you know, the semester and a half you spend on a college campus can be good for the right player. So I'd lean that, and I think that that's the advantage. You get to leverage some high value moments if you're in a college program where you get to be seen under pressure. Not only in the, I mean, teams are watching these tournaments, but you found out like this conference tournaments is what all the scouts go to. Like, yeah. That's where they think they can see a bunch of guys really fast. And so there were scouts there. Like, every scout I knew was at the SEC, because the SEC is just, it's not just Brandon Miller. The SEC is pretty stacked with talent this year. Like, there were a ton of guys down there.
Well, Kurt, always good catching up with you. We appreciate your time, and enjoy the week, and enjoy your tournament games, and go Gauchos. Go get a W, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think my bracket's already busted, but we'll see.
You took that playing all the way through. Oh, dang, Kurt.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Exactly.
I love it. There's Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. Tim's hanging out with us from RGS Exteriors once again. And, Tim, you know, a lot of people looking at building their dream house and realizing that, oh, wait a minute, we have a 2.8% interest rate. Our home needs to be our dream home because we're not moving off that rate. So why not invest in your own house and make your house you're in right now your dream home?
Well, dude, that's exactly what we're seeing more and more right now. I mean, the new home construction has absolutely stopped, and for that reason, because who wants to have a 6-7% mortgage when they have a 2 or 3, right? So, but that's exactly what everyone's doing. Is let's make our house our forever home. Let's make this work. And homes aren't getting any cheaper, so you know, let's invest and make your home.
One thing that I really want when I'm sitting down with a project of this magnitude, I want some individual attention. I want my time, my focus. And right now, people are going to get that. It's not going to be that way coming up early spring, because when the sun comes out and the ground is dry and you're looking at your house after all the snow and rain comes off and you're like, geez, I got to do something with this vinyl. It's popping off the side of my house. You're going to be flooded with calls. Right now, you're going to get that specialized attention. You're going to sit down. You're going to have the time to really go through this if you call right now.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I'd love to say that our guys will give you the attention the same all the time, but you know, human nature is human nature, and when you're a little bit slower, you do get that. So that's going to be the reality. And we've been talking about it before. We were supposed to have a price increase. Actually, they hit January 1. Because of our negotiating powers with our supplier, we've been able to push it off. But we have a hard deadline now of April 1. So there are price increases hitting April 1st. We've been saying this for a couple months, thinking it was going to hit. And they actually gave me notice actually this week, in fact, Monday, that April 1's the final deadline. So, you know, there's going to be some
metals?
Costs. That's a good question. That's going to be on. There's two things that we're having happen to. Hardy is the biggest one. So if you're thinking about a James Hardy siding job, that's the biggest one. That's the biggest thing. But then on our gutter coil, so anything to do with the rain gutter on the coil side of it is going up pretty substantial in April 1 as well. So unfortunately, the metal follows the London Metal Exchange. And if you watch the London Metal Exchange, we're about a 6-month backlog of what you see there. And there was a huge spike about 6 months ago. So we're going to have an increase for a couple months on that.
But you can beat it if you call now.
Yeah, if you get it, let us know. And even if we don't install the job by April, it doesn't have to be installed. We just need to have a contract signed and get it ordered to the supply house. And the suppliers will guarantee that, even if we install the job in June. But if we install it by April 1, we're still good. So that gives a little bit of a sense of urgency. But look, if you know, don't push it just because of that, to save you a couple percentage points. We just want to do what's best for you and the homeowners. And if it makes sense and if they're on the fence, do it now. You know, save you a couple bucks. But if you're just at the budget stage, you know, let's just come out and let's design a project. Let's design something that's killer. Whether it's a simple gutter project, which, look, there's not a lot of design for gutters. We can just show up and get you taken care of on the gutters. But if it's a full exterior makeover, whether it be stucco or siding or brick, whatever it is, or paint, anything you want on the outside, you know, just call us and let's look at it and assess it. And like Scott talked about last segment, let's get a rendering of it, of what it's going to look like, and help you make some decisions. And you know, make your home look new.
Really makes too much sense to get it done. And, again, be proud of your home. Let's get you squared away and get you in a situation you're proud of. And all the newest designs, look, Chip and JoJo do one thing on a Tuesday, and you're ready to go the day after because you know those designs are changing every given moment.
Oh, man. We have a love-hate relationship with those guys like we talk all the time. Although, one thing we haven't talked about in a while, actually, is that, speaking of Chip and JoJo, they have actually partnered up with James Hardy. There's actually a selection. I can't remember what they call it, but whatever their show's called, but the Magnolia Selection, that's what it is. And they've partnered up with James Hardy, and there's a whole color selection that's just tied to just them. So it's actually really kind of, they've never partnered up with a product like this before. And let's be honest, you know they're getting some kind of kickback somehow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how, but I'm sure they're making money on it somehow. But they've selected, and if you go to their place in Waco, there's a whole section designed to just James Hardy siding, which I just found out about a couple weeks ago, but it's pretty cool. I know, right? Any way for them to make money. But look, at the end of the day, they've got a good eye, and Chip and Joanne have got some good things, and they've got some good detail, and they picked Hardy for a reason. And so we're lucky and grateful to be an Elite Preferred Contractor here in Utah, so we're able to take that and run with it and make a good product on your home.
801-280-3110. Just call right now. Set up the free time to come by, the free estimate, the bid, everything, and then make your decision from there. But you owe it to yourself to see what you can do to your home to improve it. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110 right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
It's Talen Horton Tucker, a star of the future.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. It was an outstanding run he had the other night. And is there something there? Are we seeing something that is developing? He's still very, very young. He's only 22, man. He does not turn 23 until November.
So you're most of the way in. Are you all the way in?
Right now, I am growing in my belief of this young man. And with the remaining games left, they're all opportunities to increase the sample size, to make it more legitimate, to continue to have it go and continue to have it grow. And if he strings together a strong finish, then that needs to be taken into serious consideration as far as where he fits in.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans, we'll start with the good. If nothing else, it's the biggest story of the day, is that Aaron Rodgers has said he has decided where he wants to go. He wants to go and play for the Jets. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he doesn't control. He's not a free agent. But is this essentially telling the Jets and the Packers, go ahead and get a deal done, which many believe that most of the framework for that trade is already in place. So it appears that Aaron Rodgers is on his way to New York to play for the Jets.
I know that BYU fans or Zach Wilson fans instantly think, what does this mean for Zach Wilson? There's a couple of different things. Number one, Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old. He will turn 40 in the middle of next season. When Tom Brady was playing at the age of 40, we were all shocked and sitting there thinking, wow, he's playing at 40. Can he do it 41, 42? Let's be honest. You hit that number 40, and it's all up in the air. You don't know how long he'll stay healthy. You don't know how strong his body's going to be. He's kind of an eccentric personality. I don't know how much work he's putting into it right now. He spent a couple of days in a quiet house, sitting around, I guess, in some sauna, in some weird situation with psychedelics or something. So I don't know the overall implications of what it means to have Aaron Rodgers in New York. I just know that it's going to be short-lived. Whether it's his body ages out and he falls off athletically, whether he takes a shot to the lower leg and his legs just aren't as stable as they used to be, whatever it is, he's not going to be around New York for a long time. So if I'm Zach Wilson, I take this as an opportunity to shut my mouth, open my playbook, open the film, and watch Aaron Rodgers. Watch how he prepares, watch how he dodges media, or watch how he works with media. You know, he's been working. Aaron Rodgers has had that podcast with that former punter for quite some time, and it's helped him get his opinions out when they were going through the whole vaccination thing, and he lied about being vaccinated, and then he explained it on the podcast, why he did what he did. If I'm Zach Wilson, I'm just watching everything Aaron Rodgers is doing. I'm watching how he is a three-time MVP, league MVP. I'm just watching what he's doing, and I'm taking notes, and I'm trying to improve my craft, because if I don't improve, I'm done. I'm on the street. I don't get another opportunity just because I was the number two overall pick. I know we just saw Baker Mayfield get another opportunity because he was the number one overall pick, and he's headed out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to try to fill in where I guess Tom Brady's leaving off, but I take in everything I possibly can from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's just, look, Aaron Rodgers, I think if you put some true serum into Jordan Love and said, what's it been like over the last couple of years, he probably would say, it's been hell. You know, he's not the easiest person to be around. But I also think that you can glean a lot from a football perspective on who Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback. The dude has played the game as well as any other quarterback in the history of the game. May not have the rings that Tom Brady, but the yardage and touchdowns and everything else that goes along with it, he's right there. And so, I think that for Zach Wilson, and we talked about this yesterday, the one great thing I love about this for Zach is that he has been a tabloid target for ever since on draft night. When he does his first interview in New York and some guy asks him, hey, what's it like having a hot mom? Like, why is that even a thing? And that's what we were immediately concerned about for Zach Wilson. Because it's not about they tear you down for bad play. They want to tear you down for every aspect of your life. Well, right now, that shift is now squarely on Aaron Rodgers. Like, Zach Wilson is a complete afterthought to every tabloid, every sports host, everybody else in New York. Nobody cares about Zach Wilson anymore. So Zach can just sit back, observe, learn, develop, all of that stuff that he needs to have happen without the spotlight on him. I actually think in the long run, this is a good day for Zach Wilson. I really do.
Yeah, because let's say it works out really well with Aaron Rodgers and they move Zach Wilson down the road. Well, that's good for Zach too. Get out of New York. Get into a place that maybe is a little bit more quiet, where you're not asked to go out and lift a team that is unliftable. Lift an organization that hasn't been lifted for years. Since Joe Namath, they haven't been lifted. So it's the worst ask possible. It was the worst drafting place possible. And it'd be nice to see him land in Minnesota for a period of time. Or find himself maybe in Green Bay if it's not working out with Jordan Love, or Green Bay wants a change of scenery. It'd be nice to see him get out of New York as well. So I actually think it's a great case scenario for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I do too. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Now this is an ugly shot. If you've seen the video of this, Torrey Craig was trying to defend against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and as Giannis was dribbling, Torrey Craig closed out on him, and Giannis brought an elbow back into Torrey's face, hit him right in the mouth, and the next thing you see, Torrey down on the ground, and he's got his fingers in his mouth trying to find a tooth, and then he's looking on the floor trying to find a tooth, and then cameras zoom in as he finds the tooth, and he's looking at it, and he realizes that Giannis just knocked his teeth right out. It It's pretty ugly. Teeth injuries are the worst. I don't know if you've ever had a tooth get knocked out. I had a front tooth get knocked out in a really stupid wrestling accident. And when you knock those teeth out and the roots are exposed and the jaw hurts, I could hardly function. And Torrey Craig finished the game. I don't know how he did it because it's extremely painful, but the video is horrifying too. I hate seeing teeth knocked out.
Yeah. It's not good.
Where are those mouthpieces, people?
Yeah, exactly.
They're there for a reason. Put them in. I know every kid out there watches Steph Curry just chew on his, but let's be honest, man. Keep that thing in. Going to save a tooth or two. Yeah, that sucker. Look, I'm with you. I'm impressed the guy finished the game for sure.
Yeah.
Kept in there, kept playing. And you don't see that a lot in the NBA these days. Some guy, cracks a toenail and he's going to want to shut it down for a week and a half. So I thought that was pretty impressive to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was ugly for sure. All right. Speaking of ugly, let's get to it.
And of course, the ugly.
Well, Kings forward Trey Lyles has been suspended one game without pay, and Bucks center Brooke Lopez has been fined $25,000 for their role in an altercation back on Monday in the final seconds of the Bucks win over the Kings. Lyles took exception to Giannis, dribbling the ball toward him while running out the clock. He tried to steal the ball away, then shoved Giannis, and then Lopez jumped into his teammate's side. Had a brief on-court skirmish between the two. Lyles will miss Wednesday's game in Chicago. He'll lose about $18,000, which is not much of a knock on his salary. He's making $2.6 million, which for Trey Lyles. I mean, the biggest thing I took out of this story, Hans, is that Trey Lyles is still in the NBA. So that was the biggest surprise out of all of this.
It's what caught me off guard.
Is that Trey Lyles is still earning an NBA paycheck somewhere.
He looked surprised when Brooke Lopez got in his face. He looked really surprised. I looked surprised when I saw that Trey Lyles was still on the court and that's who Brooke Lopez was confronting. Can you believe he's still doing it?
No. Nope. Not at all. I mean, yes, I am surprised because that guy, not only did he – I mean, there was some talent level there for sure, which is why the Jazz took him, but – at the end of the day, there was no real work ethic, and his complaint of the lengthy practices of Quinn Snyder, I think, was certainly proof of that.
But
I don't know if you want me to go back on that draft, do you?
No, don't do it.
I don't think anybody does.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't think.
What draft?
Does.
What draft was that anyway? Was that 18?
17 or 18?
Let's see here. Donovan Mitchell was 17.
So it'd have been 15. 16. Yeah, 15 then.
All right. Let's see here. Trey Lyles was picked 12. Oh, look who went 13. Devin Booker. Okay.
Yeah, geez.
Campaign went 14.
Well, nothing's worked out good with Devin, so didn't miss anything there.
No. Nope. Not at all.
I'm a little bit shocked that Trey Lyles is still doing it. He actually was on the court for 27 minutes in that game, and he's playing for a really good Sacramento team, and he's averaging 8 points and 4 rebounds. So he's doing his thing.
Did you see the ref didn't even know his name? He said number 41.
Yeah.
Even though he called out Lopez by name.
And then this other guy, don't know who he is. Yeah.
Number 41.
Are you sure you're supposed to be out here, son?
Hey, guy. I don't even know your name.
I think everybody lost respect for him when he complained about some 3-hour practice that Quinn Snyder put him through.
Yeah, that was a sign it was time to move on. All right, Hans and Scotty, coming up next, a little whole world news straight ahead right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
6 games to win.
Here's go. Alley-oop to Atkins. Throws it down with 2 hands. It's an exclamation point.
3 weekends to advance.
Wide open left wing three. Yes, sir. Stephen Ashworth. 3 points.
And for the one team left standing.
He makes the three. Showing it for three.
A national championship. Join us Thursday. The Aggies versus the Missouri Tigers. Live from Sacramento, California. On the Aggie Sports Network. From Learfield.
time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about.
Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting.
This is All World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll get to whole world news here in a moment. But remember, it is a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers in concert at the Maverick Center coming up on June 11th. That is the Doobie Brothers in concert, June 11th.
Speaking of the Doobie Brothers, Scotty, the last time they were probably in the top of the charts, they were on vinyl, would be my guess. You and I were just having this conversation about vinyl records.
Yeah.
And this story popped up when I was researching for Whole World News, and I thought, I cannot believe this. For the first time since 1987, the sales on vinyl have surpassed the CD. So for the first time since the CD really came out and became available, vinyl records are passing them in sales. Vinyl albums accounted for $1.2 billion in sales in 2022. CDs were kind of far behind it, accounting for $483 million in 2022. I'm a little bit shocked that there were still $483 million of CD sales through 2022. Right? But I'm more shocked that we're talking about $1.2 billion in an archaic disc that you put on this go-around thing and throw a needle on it so it sounds like a bunch of chicken scratching. I know that the kids think it's cool, and I know people like to prop it up because it's vintage and it's cool. To me, I ran the whole vinyl thing because my dad got a vinyl player and a whole bunch of vinyls at a auction years ago. And so I ran it for like 6 years. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then everybody started doing it. I was like, okay, so it's not as cool. And then I went to the digital format, and it's just so much easier. But the vinyl thing, Scotty, it is hitting record numbers right now.
No pun intended. Yes, I told you, like, my son just turned 16. My middle son turned 16. And what he wanted for his birthday, and we got him, was a vinyl player. And you know, one of the first albums he wanted was Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. So I'm telling you, like, of all the things that drive me nuts about the up-and-coming generation, this is not one of them. Like, I'm with you. It's a little weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense because you and I are part of the generation that went from record players to cassettes and then to CDs. And so we're like, wait a minute. Record players are not easy to use. And and tapes were not easy to use. CDs were much easier. And MP3s were a hell of a lot easier. So why would you go back? But I don't know. Kids think that old stuff's cool. So good on them, I guess.
Digital consumption is still number one in our country. It generates about $13.3 billion through a single year. So $13.3 billion for the digital consumption. About 84% of our country consumes their music through a digital product, whether it's YouTube or the 92 million streaming music subscriptions that are currently active through this year currently. That's how most of it's consumed, but I thought that was incredible. The other thing that changed, for the first time in 31 years, Scotty, the Lab is not the number one dog in America. First time in 31 years.
Wow, really?
That the Labrador is not the number one dog in America.
Tell me it's the boxer.
The French Bulldog has taken the number one spot in the United States of America. The Frenchie is the number one dog across the 50 states of this country.
You know that I'm not necessarily a dog guy, but I came across a little dopey video the other night that I sent to you of some dog that I thought, man, I'd buy that dog tomorrow.
Let me guess, the dog was getting tortured.
Lloyd, no.
Did you say that on air?
Jeez, man. No.
Jeez.
Scotty, I don't know. You're just not a dog person, so I don't
Scotty
know.
Scotty wouldn't take comfort in that. Now, if it was tied to a light post.
There it is. Or you could come up and give it a little treat and love it up a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Scratch its head and say, good boy, Rover.
I'm backing up here, so watch out.
Back up.
All right. But yeah, you know what? That's the thing. But the problem is you can't find a Frenchie for less than like $5,000 these days.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty darn expensive, but they are adorable. They are loved for their pushed face, perky ears, world-weary looking face, and their incredible desire for snacks. You know, when I bought Buster and started into this whole French bulldog thing years and years ago, before it was cool, 10 years ago to be exact, the reason I went with the French bulldog, I did a little research on them. They weren't bred to hunt lions. They weren't bred to bring down bulls. They weren't bred to haul sleds across the icy tundra. They were bred to sit on your lap and be a buddy. That's what they were bred for. That's what I wanted a dog for. I didn't want to have a dog in a kennel outside that barks at my neighbors. I didn't want to have some big dog that gets hair everywhere and slobber and eats 3 bags of food in a day. I wanted a fat, pudgy dog that wanted to sit on my lap and beg for treats.
Hey,
and that's what I got.
Boxers are lap dogs.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
They are.
They're lap up food dogs. They will go through three. I got to imagine your two boxers go through 2 bags a month of dog food.
Well, one now, but he does sit on my lap.
How often?
Nonstop. Like, he'll just come up and he'll crawl up on me and just sit right on my lap.
But is your
lap, he is 90 pounds.
Is your lap really capable of doing that?
No,
it
doesn't feel great. But the legs go to sleep.
Yeah. All right. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hands out and about today at RGS Exteriors. Now's the time to get things squared away, whether it's rain gutters or the full exterior of your home. Now's the time to get it squared away.
And Tim's here helping us get it all squared away. So, Tim, just to start a project, if anybody's thinking about changing their exterior, all they got to do is call. It's that simple, and you've got people standing by to take those phone calls.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to do a full exterior, well, even if it's small or large, it's one thing to just to get a good quality contractor to install it, and that's all very important. But planning and preparation is almost just as important, if not more, because that way everybody's on the same page. How many times have you bought something or bought some clothes or something, and you go home and go, man, I don't really like this. Well, clothes is pretty disposable, right? But not something on your exterior. You want to make sure that it's exactly like what you wanted, what you thought about. So some time, some preparation, some spending time with your consultant to come out and look at it, to do a rendering to see, to make sure it's going to look the same page. And just little things, little details that sometimes you don't think about of, hey, do I want this size of trim here, this size here? What about a piece here and there? And you go through every little detail, every window, every door, and just making sure that it's exactly what you want. And once you've done that, then you can get the pricing set. And yes, price matters. 100% it matters. But you've got to get and design the project to how you want it first, or it does no good to spend that money.
You know, and you bring up a really good point, too, because I think that it's important for people that, look, they understand that this is an investment. They want to make sure that they stretch their dollar as much as possible. And you sit down and you're like, okay, what are you looking at budget-wise? What can we do here? What can we avoid? And it is truly customized to each individual. It's not like a one-size-fits-all on every home.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's how you want your exterior to be. It's going to be unique to your home, to your style, to the colors, everything that you want. Now, if you go to a basic gutter job, yeah, that's a little different, right? It's just a matter of the gutters. Is where do you want your downspouts located, and what color do you want? And it is more simple. However, even with gutters, do you need a gutter cover? Do we want to make it so that you don't have to ever clean your gutters again? Do you need some heat tape or some heat cable to avoid snow and ice? And what locations? Because you may not need heat cable on all your gutters, and you may not need gutter covers on all your gutters. But just sitting down and talking with somebody that's a professional, that's low-key, that you don't have to worry about any kind of high-pressure sell, is what it's about. And, you know, when you talk about gutters, a lot of our competitors are national companies. They're guys that are in here, they're here for a few years, and they're out. Well, and those salesmen are taught to be high-pressure. One call, closed customer. And that's just not us. So we want to come out and just let's assess whether it's a full exterior or a gutter and see if it's a fit. And if it is, great, let's do business. If it's not, we'll guide you in the right direction.
Stop by, or excuse me, not don't stop by, just call. It's really simple. All you have to do is call 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Make that phone call right now. Let's get you on the books. 801-280-3110 right here on The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.